All right. So we're going to talk about human trafficking. And I am going to tell you a little bit about who I am and why I got involved. So I am a real estate agent and an LCMS pastor's wife in Nashville. My husband and I, he's here. We've been married 25 years. And on our first date, he was already a pastor. I told him, you know, I'm having a really good time with you and everything, but I can't get over the fact that you're a pastor. That's kind of freaking me out. He's like, don't worry about that. That's no big deal. And I was like, okay. Oh, here we are 25 years later. We've got three kids, Katie, Caroline, and Will, 22, 19, and almost 16. So, and also in December, we are going to have our first grandbaby. So we are very excited.
Oh, thanks.
A little closer. Okay. So we were at Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School in Memphis when my husband received a call to Nashville in the Mid-South District. He accepted, and we arrived at Our Savior Lutheran Church and Academy. I was tickled pink. Memphis has a lot of crime, and I thought we were moving to this idyllic small town in the Bible Belt, because we live in a little suburb of Nashville, where nothing ever happened. About 2 years after we moved, I attended a women's event. The last speaker of the day got up on the stage and absolutely rocked my world. She was a one-woman show trying to help victims of human trafficking and bringing awareness of the issue to the community. She shared all kinds of information about trafficking, including the bombshell that it was happening right there in our small town. She even had direct quotes from traffickers. I'll never forget one she shared. A male trafficker said, "We spend 24 hours a day working to recruit your kids." From that moment on, I knew I had to get involved. I began to volunteer for an organization based in Nashville, and over the last 5 years or so, I've done a variety of projects, fundraisers, organizing, donating, and recruiting other volunteers. I started a small group at my church, and my husband and I have begun to put on awareness events at various churches in our district. My goal is to help you, equip you, so that you and your friends never even come close to becoming victims of human trafficking. As our Yav mentioned, we will be covering some difficult subjects, and some could be a trigger. If something is painful for you to hear, please let us know. Also, please take screenshots of the websites and resources that I share. Even if it doesn't help you, it might help a friend. Some of what you are going to hear is going to be uncomfortable and inappropriate, and I apologize. However, I would rather have you feel uncomfortable here in this safe place than in a situation where you find yourself caught off guard and potentially become a victim. Okay. Proverbs 31, I love these verses. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly, defend the rights of the poor and needy. And John 15, we are to love others how Christ loved us. Okay, so what is human trafficking? It's the recruitment, transportation, transfer, harboring, or receipt of persons by means of threat, force, coercion, abduction, fraud, or deception, or manipulation for the purpose of exploitation in forms of sexual or forced labor. How many of you have ever been manipulated to do something you didn't want to do? Many of us, most of us. There becomes a time when there's a vulnerability. Someone manipulates someone else to do something they don't want to do, and it snowballs out of control. Okay, labor trafficking. Anytime someone cannot speak the native language of where they are particularly at risk. Often they are forced to settle for unskilled labor work like agricultural jobs, construction, janitorial work, nannying, cooking, food service, dry cleaning, etc. They don't know how much they're supposed to be making, and so they don't even know if what they're getting is right. There is a really cool website on the internet called slaveryfootprint.org. And if you go there, it will take you through a little quiz that shows you how many slaves work for you based on what kind of house you live in, the cars you have, the electronics you have, and all that kind of thing. It's really, really cool. I would take a screenshot of that for sure to do later. All right. And now I'm going to share with you two stories of, first is Carlos. Carlos came from a wealthy family in Central America. Despite growing up with an abusive alcoholic father, Carlos managed to succeed in school and graduate from a local university. With his college degree in hand, he secured a great, well-paying job in his field. Unfortunately, organized crime ran rampant in Carlos's county. Drug lords exerted tremendous power, and Carlos ended up in a dangerous situation involving a cartel. To escape from danger, Carlos sought opportunities in the United States. One day, he got a job offer that sounded incredible. It would enable him to live somewhere safer and would also pay him decent money. When Carlos arrived in the U.S., he found the job was nothing like he was promised. Instead, he worked for a traveling carnival. He received little to no pay. He lived in a cramped, filthy shelter and worked excruciatingly long hours. When he announced that he was going to leave, his employers threatened him severely. They said that if he spoke to anyone or tried to escape, they would send people to murder his entire family. Carlos's employers became physically and sexually abusive. Eventually, they began forcing him to have sex with others for their own financial gain. Carlos had become a victim of both labor trafficking and sex trafficking. This is about Kim. Needing money to help purchase a home and start a family, Kim's parents accepted a small loan from the owner of the brick kiln where they worked. For years thereafter, the kiln owner used the debt to coerce and manipulate Kim's family to continue to work. When Kim was 12, she began working with her parents to help pay off the debt. 20 years later, her family's debt has grown to more than twice their average annual income, which has left Kim with no option but to put her own 11-year-old son to work at the kiln as well. Kim fears her family will never escape their trafficker. Okay. So this is a big problem, and we're hearing more and more about this all the time. And I want to tell you that many of the stats that I'm sharing are actually really old. They're like 10 to 12 years old. And the problem is that it's very hard to study these issues and to get the actual numbers, but I have done my best to get the latest stats that I can in each of these. So consider that when I share these things, that whatever the numbers were at that time, they're probably far worse today. So in 2010, the money that the traffickers and slave owners made was more than the revenue of the top five corporations in the world. That's big business. As traffickers become more affluent and more comfortable in their crime, they put their money into politics and government, further destabilizing many governments in the world that are already fragile. So here are some stats. Can y'all read that? Okay. So human trafficking is big business, like I mentioned. In the United States, on average, every 2 minutes, a child is bought or sold for sex. The average age of that child is 13. Human trafficking is the second fastest growing criminal industry just behind drug trafficking. And America is the number one consumer of porn and human trafficking. The U.S. is also number one in the demand for child rape videos. We can do better. So who are the traffickers? They're anyone. You think it's a scary guy and in a dark alley somewhere, it's anyone. They look like you and me and anyone from church. Teenagers can be recruited to be spotters or recruiters. They just have to find another young person that seems like they're vulnerable in some way and report that information to the trafficker. And then he begins to try to manipulate the girl. Most times it's a girl. There are boys, as we know, as we learn. Girls will often become traffickers when they decide that they don't want to do the actual acts themselves anymore, and they see a way out of that. If they control the other girls that are there, then they don't have to do it. So that's how that often works. And most of all, they are master manipulators. Who are the buyers? This is a group of men who were caught in my area in, I believe, February. So these guys could be anybody. There's a young man, there's an older man, all races. They could be anyone. This slide is a lot. These are the red flags of human trafficking victims. I would encourage you to take a screenshot of this because it's so much information to go over right here, and I need to move on. But there are things that you can look for when you're out and about. Just pay attention. See, you know, study this list later. See if you see these things in people when you're out in the community. Keep your eyes open. Sometimes they're just hoping that someone will notice that something is wrong and reach out to them. So this is how you can help. Okay, I am going to read some stories of some more people who were trafficked. So a Florida man pretending to be Instagram famous reached out to a 17-year-old Texas girl. After months of chatting through Instagram, he paid more than $800 for the girl to travel via Uber from her home in San Antonio to his parents' home near Orlando, where he raped her repeatedly over the course of 3 days. The girl told authorities she quickly realized he wasn't who he claimed to be, but that he pressured her into staying with him as he had paid for her journey. She escaped when he fell asleep. Audrey Morrissey was a struggling 16-year-old mom in Boston when her then-boyfriend and father of her child pressured her into prostitution to support her family. Life on the streets was brutal, and Morrissey soon turned to drugs to deal with the abuse and trauma she experienced. Like many young women in her situation, she felt certain that she would be trapped in that life forever. When Ted was 10, his mother began dating a new man. He seemed perfect, supplementing his mother's income, buying Ted presents, and adding stability to their family. After a few months, however, it became clear he was using Ted's mother to get closer to Ted. Ultimately, he succeeded in forcing Ted to engage in commercial sex. He coerced Ted by threatening his mother, drugging him, and physically abusing him. Ted only reported his abuse after a failed suicide attempt several years later. Like so many other high school students, Kinsey suffered bullying by her classmates both at school and at all hours on social media. She also fought constantly with her parents, whom she felt didn't understand her at all. Her self-esteem dipped lower, she became depressed, and started losing hope. Kinsey's thoughts turned to taking her own life. She wondered if anyone would even notice or care. One day, Kinsey decided to skip class and spend the afternoon alone at a local park. To her surprise and delight, several cute older guys approached her. Their compliments and interest made her feel happy for the first time in a long time. In that moment, their attention filled her sense of emptiness. When they offered her some drugs to try, she didn't want to disappoint them. She desperately wanted to keep their attention. She tried the drugs, and everything became a blur. Kinsey awoke to find herself in an unfamiliar hotel room. Her body was in terrible pain, and she felt very disoriented. In her haze, she had already been sold for sex. The guys she had met in the park turned out to be gang members. Now they were Kinsey's traffickers, and they sold Kinsey to dozens of men every day. So let's talk a little bit about how these victims are living. They are definitely living in not great circumstances. The conditions are difficult, dirty. They are not receiving money. Many of them are addicted to drug and alcohol. And as they start to withdraw from the drug that they're on, the trafficker will use that as a weapon and say, I'll give you more drugs, but you've got to do this. So there's always that manipulation. Customers per day range from 10 to 30. These men are paying for a service, and whatever they would like to do is fine because that's what they're paying for. Some of the victims have had forced and botched abortions. They've become sterile, certainly gotten STDs, UTIs. Certainly there's a lot of psychological trauma. 100% of them have PTSD. Some will even need reproductive surgery. The average lifespan of someone who enters the human trafficking world is 7 years. So if they are not rescued by 7 years, in general, they will die. So my first question when I was learning about this was, well, why don't they just leave? I mean, it seems pretty clear. I would just run. If this was me, I would just run. Like, it's so easy when you're not in somebody else's shoes, right? So one big thing that happens with this is something called boyfriending. The trafficker will look for your vulnerability and begin to romance you. And I'm using the word you interchangeably here sometimes so that you can kind of have an idea of what this might feel like in a situation. He'll begin to romance you. He'll appear to be someone with which you can share secret desires and wishes and cares and hopes and whatever you feel is lacking in your life. He'll manipulate a romantic interest, offer up extreme flattery, promises of gifts or advancements in life. And he'll give you the assurance that he and he alone is the only one who truly cares for you. He'll isolate you from your support system and the resources that you need to survive. You become entirely dependent on him for your basic needs. He'll tell you a secret and then say, "This is our secret." Then he'll get you to tell one of your own, and he'll promise not to tell a soul. He may become jealous and want you only for himself, that he wants you to only be his. Then he'll use your secrets to blackmail you to do what he wants, or he'll tell your parents or post it all over social media. This is where the switch is flipped. He will most likely introduce drugs. And once that happens, it's over. So sometimes there is just a simple lack of understanding of what a normal relationship is. Maybe someone has never seen what that is and doesn't know, and they second guess themselves and think, I don't know, maybe he's right. Often they are physically confined. Food will be used as a weapon to keep them where they are. There will be rape or gang rape, certainly physical abuse. Threats of violence against family is a big one. If they threaten to kill your younger siblings, then you might say, okay, I'll do whatever you're asking. And sometimes they'll take their legal documentation or like a driver's license, so there's no way that you could go out and get a job. So you can't make money. You don't have anywhere to go. You're isolated from your family, and you don't know what to do. They've also trained you to say that you were a willing participant, and you begin to feel that there is not a way out. So what is the root cause of human trafficking? It's sin. It all goes back to sin. There are so many issues that are evil in this world, and in the end, we can't fix this. We can't make it go away. It goes back to sin. The only answer to that is Jesus. That's it. So these are some verses here that talk about this. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other. For everything in the world comes not from the Father, but from the world. Addiction is putting something in God's place. That's his spot. He says, "You shall have no other gods before me." So moving down, most people will struggle with porn. Did anybody get to go to the porn session already? I did. Did anybody else go? Wow. Okay. It's really, really good. Guys, definitely be sure you go. Girls, you go too, because it's great. And something that people don't realize is that actually women struggle with porn as well. 30% of women. Boys are typically introduced when they're very young. The other speaker said around the age of 8. I've got 9 to 11 here. The porn industry has larger revenues than the NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball combined. So again, back to the money, and it is all about the money. A great resource to go to is fightthenewdrug.com. That is all about porn and how that affects your brain. It will rewire your brain. Okay, so here are some risk factors of potential victims. So anyone who is lacking in something, poverty in their family, maybe they don't have their parents around, foster children, certainly, people with substance abuse issues. Some traffickers will recruit directly from detox facilities. So when these people go through the program and they get out, then the trafficker swoops in and tries to recruit them right away. Anytime you are feeling misunderstood, lonely, left out, there's a vulnerability there, and you don't want to let someone exploit that. You could have the most beautiful girl, and if she thinks that she is fat or ugly or has some problem, and girls have a big problem with this, then she could very easily become a victim and fall prey to those compliments and the flattery. So don't let that happen. Where do traffickers look for victims? Everywhere, absolutely everywhere. This is what they do 24/7. Okay, so let's switch a little bit and talk about social media and technology. So do you feel safe at home? Yes, at your home, school, church, sure, of course. But anytime you have your phone with you, the predators are right there with you. And they're getting to kids all through their apps and texts and all the things. 76% of human trafficking victims in the U.S. are attained via the internet. And I once heard a former federal prosecutor and cyber investigator speak, and he said that in one investigation that they did, they had 5,324 pages of an Excel spreadsheet that had the same question on it. Hi, I saw your profile. You're really cute. What do you like to do for fun? And all he was doing was just throwing it out there. And whoever answered, great, this is my person I'm going to try to recruit. So this is how dedicated they are. Social media is a great place for predators to learn your personal information, where you live, your likes and dislikes, where you are at certain times. Try not to post those things so much. I know it's so hard. It's very hard, very difficult. Really only communicate with people that you know, like you know that you know them. These predators are out there. They're trying to get to you. Please don't engage with strangers on the internet. I talk a lot about girls becoming victims, but guys can too. And so guys, you think that you're talking to this great girl, and it turns out to be a trafficker or a predator on the other end. You just don't know because you don't know them. Okay, these are some of the tactics. I know how you can make a lot of money, right? Everybody's always interested in that. They'll say to you, you know, why are you having sex for free? You should make them pay for it. You know, girl power, right? No. They'll say, oh, you're already having sex with me. Why not someone else? I'm okay with it. These are more things that they'll do in the boyfriending area. They will romance you and pay for your hair and your nails and your this and your that. And then they can even make it appear like you're doing it together, like it's a business for the two of you, and you're doing this for an end goal so that you can have a house together and have a happy life. So some red flags of traffickers. They will try to recruit guys, offering to send video game upgrades to help you get to the next level, maybe share tips for winning the games. They will make you feel like you owe them something. Okay, let's talk about sexting and sending nudes. So 40% of teens think that it is normal to send nudes. Once an image is on the internet, you cannot get it back. Don't send nudes. Don't ask for them. Say something if you see one of your friends dealing with a sexting situation. That's just being respectful and doing the right thing. But remember that you can be charged with the production and distribution of child pornography. If you take a picture of yourself, you have now committed a crime and you send it. It is not yours anymore. One 17-year-old boy who sent a photo to his girlfriend was charged with 2 felony charges, which could not only lead to prison, but also to being listed on the state sex offender registry. That is a great way to ruin your life. Just don't do it. Okay, this is an example. Can y'all see this in the back? Maybe not. I'm going to read it to you. This is a text exchange. So this guy has seen this girl on Instagram, maybe. He says, oh, your videos are amazing. Ha ha. How old are you? 13. You? 13? You don't look 13. I thought you were like 16. I'm 17. Yeah, LOL. I get that all the time. What are you up to? At school, super bored. You? What school do you go to? The one by the baseball field? Yeah, that one. Where do you go? I'm super bored in class too, haha. The hoodie you're wearing in the video is so cool. Yeah, I know, I stole it from my classmate, lol. I'm sure it looks better on you. Haha, thanks. You're welcome. Now you've got to send me a pic though. Okay, but so do you. And then he sends a picture. She sends her picture. They like each other's pictures. And then a later conversation, he says, hey, I was actually, and she says, hey, I was actually thinking of you. He says, haha, really? Aw, you think of me. Just because I was recording some more videos at school. LOL, while you're at school, that's cool. How's your day going, by the way? Eh, just not having the best day. Why? Trouble with my parents. Yeah, I feel you. That's why I just don't listen to them. You want to know what'll make you feel better? What? A video call from me. I'll call you in 5 minutes. Oh, sorry, my camera isn't working, but the mic is. At least I can see you. So they start a video chat. Some things go on, and she sees that he was recording her. She says, you can't send this to anyone. And he says, oh, it's too late. So look how he earned her trust. Oh, 13? You look like you're 16. They ask for personal information. You go to the school by the baseball field? They don't reply to the same questions. He doesn't say where he goes to school. And then they pressure you to send something. You've got to send me a pic too. Okay. So often if you're in a conversation online, they'll say DM me or let's go private. Put your radar up. They'll ask, are you alone? Don't answer that question. Send me a face pic. Seems harmless, but once you send it, it's no longer yours. Sex offenders and predators, traffickers have used many girls of or pictures of pretty girls to make profiles on sex sites for sale. So if you put your picture out there, it's out there. You seem sad. What's bothering you? So the girl says, what's going on? Oh, it's your parents. They're being jerks. Mine too. Want to come hang with someone who actually understands you? Oh, those girls are gossiping about you and being mean. I have some amazing friends that are so sweet. You're going to love them. Oh, that guy doesn't like you? Well, he doesn't know what he's missing. I think you're amazing. I know a way you can make money fast. We talked about this. It's a good idea to never deal with money with someone that you don't know, no matter what, even if it includes sending photos of yourself or talking on a webcam. What's your number? Text me. This gives them an opportunity to build more trust with you, and a phone number will often reveal your location and specifically your home address. And I love you. Everyone wants to hear the words, I love you, but sometimes they'll use this to make you feel safe in doing something that you kind of feel deep down you shouldn't do. Then they'll say, if you don't do what I ask, I'll show everyone the pictures you've sent me. This is where I say, stall for time. Use your mom. Say your mom's calling you. Say you got to go to the bathroom. Be right back. Whatever it takes. Just buy yourself some time to get a minute. And even if you're afraid of what they think, tell your parents or a teacher, somebody else that you trust. It's better to put a stop to threats right away than to hope that they'll stop after you do what they ask. They won't. You can't undo this once you've done it. If you have sent a nude picture and it is out there, there is some hope. You can contact, and this is another screenshot picture here. You can contact the number 1-800-THE-LOST. They will help you. It's a cyber tip line. They will help you track that down. Also, if this person who may be trying to exploit you is a relative or someone in your home and you need help, either contact the police or you can go to RAIN.org, which is the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network, RAINN.org. Or call the National Sexual Assault Hotline at 1-800-656-HOPE. I just want to share couple last things. So girls, learn how to say no. If a guy sends you flowers or brings you Chick-fil-A or Starbucks or takes you on a date, you don't owe him anything. He probably did that because he likes you and that's great, but you don't owe him anything. So guys also know, maybe you want to save your money. Maybe keep your money because she doesn't owe you anything. And I hope that the guys don't feel picked on in this session, but you know, the stats unfortunately bear it out that most of the time it's guys that are the predators, but women can be too. So just be comfortable saying no, it's okay. You don't owe anybody anything. Girls have a problem being too nice sometimes, and we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. And it's okay to say no. You need to just really get comfortable with that. Guys, be accountable to others. Be respectful of yourself. Refuse porn in any way, shape, or form. Speak up. If your friends are joking around about rape or prostitution, things like that, speak up. Say something. Your friends are looking for leaders. Satan will tell you that if you've already texted a nude to someone, or you've had sex before marriage, or you asked a girl for a nude, any of these things, that it was your fault, you did it, you deserve whatever's coming to you. That is not the case. God says, "Don't you know who I am? I reign over all things, good and bad. I am the creator of all things. Don't you know that I have always been and still am in control of the whole world? Don't you know that I sent Jesus for messes exactly like this? I make beauty from ashes. I'm the king of redemption." And there's our verse there from Colossians. I will not do the closing prayer. It'll take a few more minutes. This is my contact information. If you would like to come up and chat with me after, or just take a screenshot and contact me later, if I can help you in some way, that is great. And then my last slide will give you the, you know where to exit. So, okay, thank you guys.